You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. And here we are. It's the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast, and I'm John Rabin. Hello, everybody. It's episode 50. Episode 50, wow. Recording this on June 5th, 2019, Wednesday, and episode 50. I was going to have a compilation of memorable moments from the past 49 episodes, but I ran into some technical difficulties. And by technical difficulties, I mean I have difficulty listening to myself. So, I'm not going to go back and listen for some. Also, I don't know. Just let's interrupt me with me. Like, it'd be one thing if, let's have a montage of all the people that I've interviewed, but it's just me. So let's just take my word for it. The past 49 episodes have been gold. But you can also go check, what else are you doing in your car? Go listen to some old episodes, catch up with me if you like. But 50 of them. That's a lot of me yammering 30 minutes a pop or less. So, I hope you're having an okay week. Sober people, I hope you're staying sober. Normal people, hope you're staying sane in these trying times. Wanted to share this real quick before I go to the main little thing. This kind of came up on when I was doing some news searches, just kind of, addiction news. What's going on? I was checking it out, and this came up, and this is from the website BuzzFeed News. I know they've especially with all these other new sites that have popped up and everything, but I still remember BuzzFeed from when it started, and you're like, BuzzFeed, these fucks. So the idea of them having a news department still makes me laugh. They're probably a little more legit than I'd give them credit for, but still doesn't matter. So this is not really news, though. This is just kind of reporting on a thing. That the headline is a former heroin addict's popular Instagram account is trying to fight the opioid epidemic with humor. I don't know if it's trying to fight anything. I think one thing recovery has taught me is to accept that I have an off-color sense of humor. Yeah. Yeah, you do. And basically what it is that this guy, he has this comes in the, recovery memes, which is a niche genre of internet humor that an average reader may call offensive, insensitive, or kind of horrifying. However, for those who have been there, these black comedy memes hit home in a big way. And these meme accounts, like one called Dank Recovery Memes, that's the name of it, Dank Recovery Memes, with more than 47,000 followers, Jesus, offer a safe place to laugh and share about the darkness of addiction away from normies, I relate to that, who can't relate. The creator of the account, Timothy Kavanaugh, is a former heroin addict who has been clean and sober for 7 years. He now is a certified addiction counselor in Missouri and works as the regional director of an addiction treatment center. Holy shit. He told BuzzFeed News that while many people just don't get it, he believes the memes are cathartic for those who have been there. So he's got, and I've seen And it really is. I went to the site, and they're really dark, some dark shit. Like, I'm not going to describe memes to you, but like one of them shows somebody gassing up their car, and they're covered in a blanket, like all over them. They're just huddled in there, and the meme is basically says, when you're sick as fuck, but got to throw that $2.47 in the tank so you can make it to the spot, you know, to buy drugs. And so it's basically, yeah, so there's just a bunch of those kind of memes. And I find it interesting, not because I think the memes are funny. Most of them are kind of shit. Like memes, they're kind of shitty. It's not very good, but they're dark. They're somewhat offensive, some of them, but some of them are funny. And one of those relatable, when you're relate to something and you go, uh-huh, yep, that's, yeah, heard that, kind of a deal. So dank recovery memes. Like, I'm not going to recommend it unless you are an addict and you want to check it out and go, yeah, that's great. But not my sense of humor. It's my level. That's actually what I appreciate about it. What I appreciate about it is because a lot of my stand-up is like that. It really pokes fun at my heroin addiction and just dark elements of it. So I totally get this. This is totally right up my alley. I just think that it's basically, it's a guy that creates memes. So it's like lowbrow... It's in my genre, but just this lowbrow. It's because they're fucking memes, and you know they're gonna be whatever. You just kind of look at it and you go, "Heh," and then you go on with your day. But what I found about it, encouraging about it, is that it's not unusual to have a really fucking dark sense of humor when you're recovering, when you're coming back from something. I think some people think that because whenever they go through some sort of trauma or something that they're dealing with, that's some hardcore shit, that, you know, making jokes about it and everything, you know, it's how you deal with it, but it's unusual, and it's not. And people who are not going through that are going to be offended by it. Also, they get people who like to be offended for other people. And look, it's not for you. Mind your own fucking business. People don't need your protection. Try to protect yourself. Worry about your own shit. Stay in your own lane. Lady? I don't know. Random. Nobody. But I found that interesting. I found it comforting that somebody else is out there and popular. So there's lots of people out there that have that sort of sense of humor, and they're like, you know, I get it. So it's not for everybody. It's not for most people, but for the people it's for, it's really for them. So that's cool. So the main thing I wanted to talk to you about today was, I had this, I've had a question. It's actually been asked of me a few times over the years, several times over the years. And it's basically when people have found out that I had meditated in the past, or that I was meditating, and people have asked how to get into it. You know, what benefits do I get from it? And where the big question really is, do you think that meditation is for me? And I wanted to, and I, you know, I just kind of wanted to take some time today for this episode just to cover meditation and to answer the question, is meditation for you? And my answer to that is no. Well, thanks for joining me this week. It's been a shorter episode. All right, fine. All right, I'll go. Fine. I'll expand. Go into that more? All right. I can do that. So, no, I don't think it is. I don't think it's for you. That's presumptuous. But here's why my initial reaction is no. Because why do you want to meditate? That's really what you need to ask, is why. Like, honestly ask why. Because most people, myself included, when I did it, when I started doing it, I had two reasons. But one of those two reasons was because I thought it would make me cool. That's why I do anything. I have two motivators. Do I think it's cool? And am I bored? You know, like if I'm bored, I want to do something. That's how I do anything. That's how I became a drug addict in the first place and an alcoholic in the first place. I was bored. But that's the thing, is that I think people just want, it's just cool to be a meditation person. It's like, oh, I'm into Eastern philosophy and because it makes me cool. And it basically comes down to, it's when somebody, you know, most people who want to do meditation, really what they want is they want to buy a yin yang t-shirt. That's what it all comes down to, is they want a yin yang t-shirt. They want, anytime you see anybody post a picture of them meditating somewhere out in nature on their Instagram, it's a fucking yin yang t-shirt. That's all it is. And the thing about, and that's fine, but you're not going to get anything out of it other than that picture. If that's really your motivation, and that's, I'm not saying you're shitty because that's your motivation. That means, I'm just saying you're human. But if that's the only, your sole motivation is like, nah, I think it'd be cool, just do yoga. Just at least yoga, you're going to get some physical benefits from it. And exercise. You can get a lot of great Instagram pics of you stretching and shit. And at least you'll benefit from the stretching. Because meditation doesn't benefit you anything physically, really. And there's going to be arguments against it. I'm sure there's like, no, because you're breathing, blah, blah, blah. Fine, whatever. But what I'm saying is, it's not exercise, fuckers. That's what I'm saying. So, but I mean, that was a big motivator. That's why I thought about it. I thought about meditation because, you know, movies or whatever. You know, you're reading Zen philosophy, you're reading Buddhism, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to meditate, bitch. Like, that's what you think. You're going to be like, yeah, this guy right here. Here we go. I'm one with motherfucking nature. Like, that's, yeah. Luckily for me is that I kept doing it because I actually needed it for another reason. There was another reason that I wanted to meditate, and it was kind of a necessity. And that is, I started it while I was in rehab because I had lots of time on my hands and I was in rehab. And when you are no longer doing drugs or booze or anything, all of a sudden your brain comes back with a fucking vengeance, and all the thoughts and everything that you've been perfectly happy escaping, all the chatter and all the noise in your head just comes back with a vengeance, man, just like nonstop. Everything, thinking about everything, just mile a minute, your brain just comes back, and I needed something to combat it. So I would meditate every day while in rehab, and then actually going out after rehab into the sober house and stuff. And I, you know, kept doing it. And the thing about it is that if you continue to do it every day on a consistent basis, that you eventually get used to that pattern, and like your brain does, your thoughts do slow down and quiet down in your breathing and your meditation. Like it gets better and better to where it is a it's definitely something that can help you if you're feeling overwhelmed and you need to take a breather and you're just like, I just need to sit down. So there is that, but I think a lot of people just, you know, I think they want to use it to take a break and stuff. But I gotta tell you, you gotta think about, you should really do yoga. Like, I really think that's for what a lot of people want. I think that's more compatible to you. I don't meditate every day anymore. I probably do sitting meditation, you know, what would be considered traditional type meditation. I probably do that about once a month. Although this past month, which is why I've thought about this, because it's been in my head, but I've done it about four times this past month. And that has to do with just, you know, personal issues and stuff coming up that has gotten me thinking about things. And then I was like, holy shit, you know what? I need to take a moment. But I don't sit. Like, I just sit in a chair and I light a candle so that I have something to kind of focus on when I open my eyes and then close my eyes and breathing. I just sit in a chair normally. I don't do some kind of lotus. I don't do a lotus position. I don't try to align any kind of chakra shit. It's just about breathing and focusing on breathing. It's just about taking a moment. And the reason I don't normally do it as much anymore is because there's a lot of things that we do during our life that is like doing meditation. Hang on a second. Okay. Yeah, so there's things in life that are like that I've discovered that are meditation for me. Basically, anytime that I'm skateboarding, because I do I'm a cruiser. I do not do tricks. My trick is that I do not fall off the skateboard because I'm 45 and I don't have great health insurance. So that's my trick, is I don't hurt myself, but I cruise a lot. So when I'm cruising, like for travel, when I go places on my skateboard, that's very meditative for me. Also, the last hour of work when I'm washing dishes, because the last hour at work is essentially, I'm not having to run anything out. I'm not having to run out plates and glasses because service is over. Everybody's gone except for like a couple of cooks who are closing down out in the kitchen. But I'm basically cleaning everything end of day, pots and pans and everything, and equipment that needs to go back out and be set up, you know, for end of the day. So I'm basically just there. I don't have to communicate with anybody. I don't have to engage, and I don't have to deal, you know, if they're not customers running around or anything. It's just me and just boom, just basically cruise control, second nature, not paying attention to it, while my mind just is allowed to wander and daydream and just relax. And that, to me, is very much like meditation, is basically what it is. Because no matter how shitty of a day I'm having at work, if it's a good day, if it's a bad day, it doesn't matter. After that last hour where I'm not in a rush, I don't have to, you know, I can go at whatever speed just to get it done. It's just, you know, and then I'm done, and then I leave and I take nothing home with me. I don't take any baggage, any kind of work bullshit. But that last hour is an unwinding, you know, and my mind is free. Like, I've got no stress on me or anything when I'm leaving, and I'm like, I'm done for the day. And that, because of that, I don't need to sit down and take a moment. I don't need to breathe for 10 minutes because I basically do that for an hour, at least 4 days a week. And I think that's a really big reason why that fact, you know, what that is, I think that's a really big reason why I continue to do what is technically, it's very much a manual labor job. Because how can I go back to a cubicle in office politics and middle management and micromanaging and all that and cubicle life after that? It's hard to even fathom that kind of life when I'm doing what I'm doing now. It's strange. But that's why I don't meditate as much. Sometimes I have like a Zen garden thing in a drawer. I have this nightstand that I converted into kind of it's got a Buddha statue on it with candles and everything. But the drawer of the nightstand you pull out and it's basically a little Zen sand garden in there, and I kind of, you know, dick around in the sand. just like make patterns, and I do that sometimes when I sit. I haven't done that in a while. Probably done that, what, once this year maybe? Man, it's been a minute. But the deal though, is when I tell you no, don't do it. I'm not telling you don't. I'm just saying it's probably not for you and you should do yoga instead or whatever that fucking thing is with the scarves that hang from the ceiling. I don't know, man. You know, CrossFit. Go find a hobby. Throw some axes. I don't know, but I can tell you this, though. Maybe it should be for you. Because the thing about meditation that I've discovered is it feels very detached, like a whole different universe. It feels like a complete, it's like another world, totally separate from this world that is networked into social media with Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And it's just, it's like it's not, it's something totally separate. It's just, and maybe you should. Maybe you should do it because this world is really loud. There's a lot of noise. That's all that social media is noise. And it's people emptying all their thoughts out into different formats online with no filter, no second thought, no pause, just blah, like the whole time. And maybe it would be better if sometimes when people thought about posting some shit, or they had thoughts of the matter, I got to get it out. Maybe instead of them getting it out of their head, emptying it out onto the internet, maybe instead they take a step back and they sit down and they breathe for 10, 15 minutes. Maybe meditation would be good for them because maybe we would have less bullshit, less useless comments, less useless opinions. Aren't most opinions useless? But less vocalized useless opinions. How about that? So, maybe it should be for you. Maybe it would be a nice exercise in disconnecting because you're spending 10 to 15 minutes not looking at your phone and you're not doing anything. It really is doing nothing. But it's amazing how effective doing nothing can be. If you're breathing right, I guess. I don't know. But it could be. Maybe it could be for you in that regards. Huh. I don't know. so consider it, question mark. I don't know. That's it. No, but maybe. That's my answer for meditation. Nah, but maybe. So, check. All right. By the way, this is just a, this may sound different. I just cut in because I had just ended the podcast. And then I just thought of this. So I'm going to give you one more thought and then end it. So so here's the deal. If you're going to try meditation, here's what I recommend doing. If you're going to try meditation, do it for a week or maybe 2 weeks, but try it a week. All right. Read up on it. Look at the different, you know, there is no shortage of information about meditation on the internet. There's no like, where do I begin? Does anybody have any information? There's a lot of fucking information out there on how to do it and what you should do. But this is what my recommendation. Do it for a week, but only if you can do it without telling anybody. Don't tell anybody that you're doing it. Don't take a picture of yourself. Don't post a picture of yourself. Don't write a blog about it. Don't blog. What year is this? 2012. Don't post, don't status update or anything. Don't tweet. Don't live tweet your meditation, for God's sakes. But like, see if you can do it without giving yourself any kind of pats on the back or trying to get any kind of, affirmation or, encouragement from other people. Just try it just for you for a week and then go from there. You know, if you can't do that, fucking do yoga. Anyway, that's what I had. Thanks for joining me this week, you guys. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Rabin. We'll see you next week. Later.